And good morning. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition, 10 minutes now before 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning. And joining me, as he usually does, is WGBH Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, we first travel out to Worcester, to one of our favorite places, the Worcester Art Museum, and they're showcasing some of what they have the best of, I guess you might say. And that's armor and samurai weaponry, huh?
Yeah, well, this is samurai with an exclamation point.
I notice
in their title. Well, as we've talked about in the past, the Worcester Art Museum likes to do things differently and shake things up, and they've certainly done that here. They have a samurai collection. Some of it comes from their own collection, but the majority comes from the Higgins Armory collection, which you probably remember they acquired a couple of years ago. And it, of course, has been their mission to showcase this arms and armor. And here they do it with a contemporary context. So you see these great samurai warrior uniforms, the swords, the stirrups, all beautifully conserved, by the way, but in the context of new contemporary art. So what they do is they trace the samurai myth and who the samurai is to today. One of the most indelible images, I think, in the show is you have these samurai warriors, very fearsome in their black robes, battling the half-human, half-dolphin army attacking Godzilla. So this is where they take the samurai myth today. And I spoke with the Arms and Armor curator, Jeffrey Forgang, about why the samurai is still a compelling character today.
Part of it is there's a tension between the samurai as a warrior and the samurai as spirit. The warrior samurai is extremely dangerous and deadly, lethal with a sword, highly trained, not somebody you want to mess with, very effective on the battlefield, whether as an individual or as a commander of forces. There's a very strong, very real martial culture. At the same time, the samurai have this kind of softer, sophisticated side to them. Their embracing of poetry, their appreciation of art, the beauty of the armor that they wear.
It doesn't bring John Belushi to mind, but anyway.
No, it doesn't. But you see these wonderful embellishments that the samurai, the craftsmen, the artists who made these materials used, and a lot of images of these pieces were sent to Japanese artists who then created pieces specifically for the show. So you get to see all these great links, including a really fun one I think kids will enjoy, which is the link to Nintendo characters. Link is a bit of a pun there. A link from Legend of Zelda. Lots of threads.
Okay, so that's at the Worcester Art Museum, Samurai, with an exclamation point. Next, Boston Ballet's Edge of Vision.
This is their latest contemporary program. It's at the Boston Opera House. It's playing through May 10th. It's three programs, all designed for, choreographed specifically for Boston Ballet. The first is Eventide, created by Helen Pickett. And you start with this crimson background. Everything is sultry and slow, limbs reaching everywhere. A beautiful, beautiful piece. And then it speeds up. It has this amazing, terrific energy to send your own heart racing. It seems to track the course of a night. Again, the crimson red of twilight. Then you move into just a fraction of light and then into deep night. And so you see these couples dancing, set to the music of Philip Glass and Ravi Shankar. It's a really, really energetic, beautiful piece. And then we have Bach Cello Suites, which is actually set to the cello suites, numbers 1 and 2. And this is by Boston Ballet's resident choreographer, Yorma Ello. This is a world premiere. You see his visual vocabulary on display here, and he even performs, I should add. He's almost like the magician or the choreographer on stage, unspooling his creation. It's quite beautiful, and it is all performed by one cellist who is on stage for this entire time. Gorgeous, gorgeous work. His name is Sergei Antonov, and he's a winner of a prestigious Tchaikovsky competition in Moscow, so it's a treat just to see him as well. And the final piece is Celts, and this is like river dance on steroids. It's so energetic, wonderfully danced. It really captures the athleticism of the Boston Ballet dancers. Jeffrey Sirio, in particular, the night that I saw this piece opening night. It's so energetic, so fast, so fun. You wonder how much time they're actually spending on stage versus in the air. That's how much energy there is to this piece.
Wow. Okay, so that's the latest offering at Boston Ballet Edge of Vision. Boston Irish by Bill Brett is a photographer's new book of pictures.
Well, I think we all know, even if you don't know, the photography of Bill Brett. He has been photographing and having pictures appear in the Boston Globe for about 50 years now. He's retired, but he's probably working more than ever. But he's had a few passion projects over the last few years in the series of books he's done, and this is his most personal. Boston Irish really tells a story of the Boston that he knew, the Boston that he grew up in. Bill Brett grew up in a very Irish family and saw how they were sort of the underclass, and that has really changed now. So he documents the full spectrum, everybody from the great city leaders. There's a great campaign photograph from Marty Walsh on election night, down to the regular people, a nearly 100-year-old nun who he saw walking down the street in her knitted coat. It's really fantastic photography. I spoke with him recently about what drives him to get out there with his camera every day.
People ask me on many occasions, what's your best picture? I say, I haven't made it yet. I'm still looking for it every day.
You really believe that?
I do, yeah, I do. Because there's a picture around the corner all the time. So I'm always peeking around to see what the picture is going to be. Because the picture tells a story, and that's what I'm trying to do, is tell stories.
So it's like Pablo Casals, when he's asked why he still practices, he says, well, I'm almost there. Yeah, almost getting it right.
And he's so genuine. I'm very fortunate, because I'm out a lot and covering a lot of events, as is Bill Brett, and I watch him, and it's fascinating to watch him watch the crowd.
Yeah.
You are seeing an artist work. You're seeing him observe and take in, and he also told me he's always trying to find the new, too, because, of course, in some of the big celebrity circles, it's the same people circulating, but he's always looking for the different.
Next, we turn to opening in theaters tomorrow, Far From the Madding Crowd, of course, famous novel by Thomas Hardy.
And now a film adaptation. Once again, this is the first film adaptation since 1967 with Terrence Stamp and Julie Christie.
Oh,
many
wow.
people may know that. But this has been updated with Carey Mulligan. And this is set in 1870. Carey Mulligan is a young woman in Victorian England who inherits her uncle's farm. So she must take over this big, sprawling farm. But of course, it's a man's world. I think there are many threads to today. Can it still be a woman's world? And here's a little cut from the film where she is talking, when she's taking over the farm and really telling her new employees, mostly men, who's boss.
From now on, you have a mistress, not a master. I don't yet know my talents in farming, but I shall do my best. Don't suppose because I'm a woman I don't know the difference between bad goings on and good. I shall be up before you are awake. I shall be afield before you are up. It is my intention to astonish you all.
Oh, goodness.
Carey Mulligan.
Wow.
Yeah, she is such a force. She's such a terrific actress. And this piece, she's assuming this farm in this role, but she's also circling amongst three men who are her suitors. There's Gabriel, played by Matthias Schoenaerts, who is a sheep farmer, sort of brooding, very down to earth. He's the man with whom she probably has the most trust. There's Frank, who shows up in his crimson red devilish uniform, who she's really enchanted by for his sexuality. And then William Boldwood, played by Michael Sheen, who's the prosperous bachelor next door with a 1,000-acre farm in the mansion. And she really must find her way in the context of these men without becoming property of them. And I will say the fourth character here is the landscape, which is so beautifully shot. The southwest of England, it's gorgeous.
And tomorrow night we have Open Studio at 8:30 on WGBH2. What will you be showing us then?
Yes, right after seeing that thing, you can see our tour of the Samurai exhibition out at the Worcester Art Museum, and you can hear more of my interview with photographer Bill Brett and his book, Boston Irish.
Well, thank you. As always, Jared Bowen, who joins us every Thursday morning here on WGBH's Morning Edition. Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, Bob.